the church, our International Community Sunday. And we're looking for a great time just to get together to worship God underneath the tent, as well as a time of fun and games afterwards, picnic, and all those great things that go with that. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to pass around a sign-up sheet for food and also a sign-up sheet for games. We need 10 people to be willing to do a game, okay, some type of game. What we're going to be giving to the children that are going to be coming, we're going to be giving them a passport. And that passport, they need to go around to each game and then get a stamp when they do that game. So it's like visiting a country where you get stamped, right? All right, and that's what happens, right? If you go into a foreign country, you get your passport and you get it stamped that you've been there. And so that's what we want you to do. That's why we need 10 games, because there's 10 pages in the passport. And then at the end of them getting their passport filled up with 10 stamps, then we'll take that card and they'll fill it out and we'll put a drawing for them to win a $50 gift card to Walmart. So that'll be the encouragement to make sure they visit every game. And and then if they come to your booth, if you have food or something of that nature, you're doing food, if they need a stamp there, give them a stamp for trying some of your international food, right? And that's the other thing. You know, it's an international theme that we're doing, so we're asking people to make international food, either from your culture or something of that nature, and whatever you can do. Hey, this is I'm stretching you. I am stretching you to do this. And it's just a way for us to reach out in the community. It's a way for us to have an impact on people's lives in a different way. And then to have an outdoor service, that's just a unique thing anyway, right? Having worship and praise underneath a tent, that's a blessing. So we got that. If you say, well, Pastor, I don't know what game to do, but I'll host the game, just sign up. It could be cornhole. It could be anything. We'll find something for you to do. We have games. But we just need people to say, I will man a game. It's almost like trunk or treat, what we do for trunk or treat. It's almost like that. So your help will be needed for that, okay? So I'm going to pass this around. If you didn't get a chance to sign up, look over what foods are there. We have French fries from France. Hot dogs from Poland. I don't know where hot dogs come from. Hamburgers from America. Hey, I'm willing to be whimsical, right? Let's just have some fun with it, and let's see what can transpire in that way. But look at it if you want to do a game. Now, face painting, Sylvia, you're doing Sylvia? I don't know if she hears me. Okay. You're going to do face painting, so put that down, okay? So they have to come to your booth to get a stamp, of course, and to get face painting. Danny, want to turn on the fans? Get some air circulating. A slip and slide, a bouncy house as well. You have a bouncy house, so we're going to need someone to man that and stamp the passport for that. Remember, this is for kids, but adults can enjoy it. And then we have a dunk tank. And that's for anybody, okay? Anybody that wants to be one that's be willing to get dunked, okay? Not one willing to throw the ball, but one to get dunked. And so, hey, this is going to be a great time. It's a church picnic, but we're inviting the community to it. That's what we kind of do, all right? Now, I do want to make mention for all those that are not familiar with what's happening Saturday, the day before our event. At Fournier Park, the community's getting together and they're setting up tables to give away free backpacks and all school supplies. And so if you have a child that is in school and they need school supplies, backpack, or whatever the case is, go to Fortin Park up by Price Chopper, if you know where that is. It's the old airport there. And go there, and it's just going to be a day of games and a day of giving out backpacks. The town of Oneonta, they have collected over 200 backpacks to give out. And I know other places are doing the same thing. So just to get the word out, let people know about it, right? Just go there, it'd be fun. They have games as well. And it's just going to be a great time for the community to get together in that way. So that's why we're doing what we're doing, just kind of extending what the community is doing as well. We're going to today look at 2 Chronicles chapter 15. If you've been reading along with us through the Bible and reading chronologically through the Bible, you went through 2 Chronicles 15. And as I was going through 2 Chronicles chapter 15, my heart was struck by God to talk about repentance. To talk about repentance, the power in repentance, the power in repentance. And I want to share with you that today with you. Also I want to share with you that we do want to pray for David St. John and Delaine. I see that. Oh, she's there. Okay. That as of right now, we know that he's going to get a pacemaker tomorrow, right? As of right now, might change, but David St. John is in Bassett Hospital, and they're prepping him for a pacemaker tomorrow. So we want to pray for Dave and pray that all will go well, and if this is what they want to do and whatever the outcome is. You know, the weather changes by minutes around here, and doctors' decisions gets changed by minutes as well, right? We know that, all those that deal with the medical profession, that happens. But we do want to hold up David St. John in prayer at the end of reading the scripture today. Pray that all will go well if they're going to put a pacemaker in. His heart rate's very low, 30 beats a minute. Blood pressure's low as well, so he's 84. I hope I'm not giving his age away. Too bad, I already did. he says, I guess I'm in need of one, so that's good. Another request that he did ask me, and please don't take offense by it, he says, please tell the people no visitors. Dave doesn't want any visitors, and I can understand being uncomfortable in that situation, so if you want to text him, or call him, pray for him, do something like that as he's being prepped for tomorrow. And Dave's a great man. We love him, and we definitely want to pray for him. Let's stand in honor reading the word of the Lord in 2 Chronicles chapter 15. I hope I covered everything I need to cover. In 2 Chronicles chapter 15, kind of going to read the whole chapter. So you're going to remain standing for a little bit because it says so much about revival and it says so much about repentance and how repentance is needed. And as we read this, I want you to also think about the events that are happening in our world today, but the events that took place in the world almost 3,000 years ago, and how really time doesn't change much because people are still the same. They're lost. They're undone. They are in need of Jesus. And we see that humanity and the curse of humanity of sin continues to be the same no matter what time period we are in. So let's look at the scripture. If you don't have your Bible open to 2 Chronicles chapter 15, look behind me on the board. We do have the scripture verses there. And it reads, the Spirit of God came upon Ahazi, the son of Oded. He went out to meet Asa and said to him, listen to me, Asa, and all of Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you when you are with him. I mean, think about that words. The Lord is with you if you are what? With him. Isn't that interesting that they would say that in the scripture verses here? Next one, if you seek him, he will be what? Found by you. But if you forsake him, he will what? Forsake you. Boy, what an epitaph. For a long time, Israel was without a true God, without a priest to teach and without the law. But in their distress, they turned to the Lord, the God of Israel, and saw him, and he was found by them. In those days, it was not safe to travel about, for all the inhabitants of the land were in general turmoil. Don't we experience that today? One nation was being crushed by another, and one city by another, because God was troubling them with every kind of distress. But as for you, be strong and do not give up, for your work will be rewarded. And when Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Azariah, son of Oded, the prophet, he took courage. He removed the detestable idols from the whole land of Judah and Benjamin and from the towns that he had captured in the hills of Ephraim. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was in front of the portico of the Lord's temple. Then he assembled all of Judah and Benjamin and all the people of Ephraim and Manasseh and Simeon. And he had settled among them, for large numbers have come over to him from Israel when they saw that the Lord his God was with him. They assembled at Jerusalem in the third month of the 15th year of Asa's reign. And at that time they sacrificed to the Lord 700 heads of cattle and 7,000 sheep and goats from the plunder they had brought back. That's a lot of animals. They entered into a covenant to seek the Lord, the God of their father, and with all their heart and all of their soul. So they sought God their father with all their heart and all their soul. Sounds like Matthew 22, 24, right? Love the Lord thy God with all of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. Amen? Let's see. Okay, and all those who would not seek the Lord, the God of Israel, would be put to death. And for us, it's spiritual death, not physical death. Whether small or great, man or woman. They took an oath to the Lord with a loud acclamation, with shouting and with trumpets and horns. And all of Judah rejoiced about the oath about they had sworn it wholeheartedly. They sought God eagerly, and he was found by them. So the Lord gave them rest on every side. King Asa also deposed his grandmother, Maachah, I hope I said it right, from her position as queen mother. There's just something about people that are in power for a while. They control a lot instead of God controlling. Because she had made a repulsive Asherah pole, a place where people worship false gods. And Asa cut the pole down. He broke it up and he burned it in the Kidron Valley. Although he did not remove the high places from Israel, Asa's heart was fully committed to the Lord all of his life. And he brought into the temple of God the silver, the gold, the articles that he and his father had dedicated. And there was no more war until the 35th year of Asa's reign. Father, once again, we just thank you for the word of God. And we thank you for how it just penetrates our hearts in such a way that brings out such truth. We ask your blessing upon the hearers that are here this day, that they will hear from your word and that they would take it to heart. We also want to pray for our dear brother David. And we pray, oh God, that your hand of healing and that your hand of process of healing will rest upon him as they prepare him for a pacemaker tomorrow. We pray that all will go well, there'll be no complications, that your hand will anoint the doctors that are going to do the procedure in putting those wires in the lobes of his heart. So when the machine is hooked up, it will work and work the way it should work, and there'll be no complications. We just plead the blood of Jesus Christ upon his life. We ask your divine protection to rest upon him and this whole procedure, and we're believing you for a fruitful outcome, and we're believing you for it now in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen and amen. You may be seated. Second Chronicles chapter 15 introduces something to the wayward nation of Israel and how they need to dedicate their lives back to God, and revival needs to take place in their soul. The question always comes up, what is revival and where does revival come from? Revival is when heaven invades our living space. Revival comes when God comes down and he reveals himself to you and to us as individuals that we need to change. There are things that we're doing, there are things that we are involved in, there are things that are not honoring to God. And we see that revival is a sovereign work of God. It's not by the words that I say or by what I teach or what I preach, but it's what God does when he releases his spirit upon you and he restores and regenerates you in your spiritual being. And then a blessing falls upon you. A blessing falls upon you because God is at work in your heart and in your life, and maybe even in your family. So as we look at revival and as we look at 2 Chronicles chapter 15, hopefully we are going to see that it's a picture of how God speaks and how we need to respond. It's a picture on how God speaks and how we need to respond. And it's also a revelation on how we need to align ourselves to the purposes of God. Even Abraham Lincoln said before they went to war with the South, they asked Abraham Lincoln, is God on our side or on their side? And he says, no, God is on neither side. We just need to be on God's side. And there's just something about us aligning ourselves to what God wants and what God's purpose is and what God has planned for our lives. And how it is recorded over and over again throughout people's testimonies, throughout history, how God revived them and done something special in their lives, and how God has done a miraculous spiritual renewal in them. So as we look at 2 Chronicles, we see that 2 Chronicles, the chapter before, lays out the reign of King Asa. And it lays out that how Asa was the first king that God used to bring revival to the nation of Judah. Judah had 20 kings, if you're following along in our readings. Judah had 20 kings. Five of them were bad, 10 were okay, but five were outstanding. And Asa was one of those outstanding kings because he got things taken care of. He got things right. He got rid of the idolatry worship. The other three, four kings were Josiah and Jehoshaphat and Hezekiah and Joaz. So you have Joaz and Josiah, two different ones, grandsons. The grandson Joaz, Josiah was a grandson of Joaz. And we see the passing on of faith and the passing on of a heritage onto another generation that is willing to take up the mantle and carry the good news. During the reign, we see that spiritual reformation took place in each of these kings' life. Five great awakenings took place during this period before they were brought into captivity into the land of Nebuchadnezzar, into the land of Babylon. Now we see that why did God use Asa the way he used God? It's not because he was perfect, and it was not because he was a grandson of a king, but because he was a praying king. God used him because he was a praying king. And in 2 Chronicles 4, verse 11, it said that that's what Asa did. He went to the Lord and he recognized and he said to the Lord, I am powerless without your help. And how do we need to do that as believers in Christ? We need to go to God from time to time and tell God, God, I'm powerless. I need your help. I need your help, God, in this situation. How did God respond to him? We know in Scripture, God did what he said he would do. He would deliver Asa from the enemies that are around him, and he would give him a new heart and renew his spirit, that he would pick up God's ways and do God's things, where a blessing will come upon the nation of Israel. And we see that happening in the 14th chapter, that God gave him victory over the Egyptian king, how God gave him victory over Sarah, the nation of Sarah, in 2 Chronicles chapter 14, verse 13 and through 15, how God gave him great victory over the nation of Cush, and how God allowed the villages of Gera to be destroyed, and all the different areas that surround that. And why is that so important? Because if our enemy lives in our backyard, very easy the enemy has a lot of influence in our lives. And we need to be careful here, and we need to be mindful of that. That the enemy is not too far from us. The enemy is really as close as our next-door neighbor, in a sense. I mean, if we look at it that way. And there are many devices, there are many technological things out there that can be used as an enemy for Christianity, that can cause the downfall of many Christians in the different realms of destructive behaviors and destructive habits that people take in that way. I was talking to a young pastor yesterday at a retirement party, and we were talking, and we were saying how years ago, how we would talk to our grandparents for maybe 1 minute, 2 minutes on the phone, because back then in those days, you paid by the minute. You know, you paid by the minute. And my granddaughter FaceTimed me, and I was able to talk to her face to face. And part of the iPhone that you have, you don't pay, it's a part of your plan. It's just a part of it. It doesn't matter if you're on the phone with her 1 minute or a half an hour, right? I mean, technology has its benefits in the age that we're living in, but it also can be a curse. And if we're not careful of it, the enemy uses that to hook people in, hook, line, and sinker. So we see that God enabled Asa to capture these areas where the enemy lived on the borders of the nation of Judah, and how God allowed him to get victory and outnumber the enemy, and so then he had victory in that way. And a lot of times, and we think the enemy has, we have a hand, upper hand over the enemy. You know, sometimes we just take it for granted and we don't realize that he's always lurking, he's always seeking, he's always desiring to devour. And if we're not careful, that's what the enemy does. He's on a prowl, he's on a hunt, he doesn't give up. But God did tell Asa, hey, listen, don't rest in your laurels. God says, don't settle in the past victories. God told Asa, don't get caught unaware of how the enemy works. Don't forget where you've come from and where I want to bring you. Don't neglect tomorrow because you feel good today. I mean, this is what God is saying to Asa. There's still more to gain in your spiritual life. Don't get so complacent about yesterday that you forget about today or what can take place tomorrow. Have you ever found yourself in that situation? Don't rest on your laurels, my friend. How many of you know that there is still more of God that you can do and that God wants to do through you? Don't think that today is the last day that God's going to do anything on your behalf. Tomorrow is just another day. Another day that he wants to prove himself to you. Another day that he wants to do something miraculous in your life. Another day that he wants to prove to you that he's a God who reigns and sits on the throne. We want that. I want that. And I also want to make sure that I'm like the Lord in what I'm doing. I don't want to be satisfied with what took place yesterday. I want something new today. I don't want to be satisfied with yesterday's pursuits. I want to do something for God today in pursuing him. And then when pursuing him, there's a process of getting to know him more and more. I say all of this because I want to share with you 4 points, if I could, this morning. 4 points. 4 dynamic points for spiritual change in your life. The first one is faith. To reach out to God in prayer. For without faith, it's impossible to what? Please God. And then also that if you don't have faith, you can't draw near to God, and God is a rewarder of those who what? Seek him, draw near to him. So faith is very important. I don't want to diminish faith, and I don't want to come against a sect of religion that has that hyper faith, but you need faith. You need to believe in God. You need to have an understanding of what God can do in your life. And the faith to reach out to God in prayer is so important. We see here, as we read in verses 1 through 7, who takes the initiative in personal reparation? The scripture tells us it's the Spirit of the Lord that takes the first initiative. It's the Lord does. The Spirit of God came upon. See, that's the one that makes that push to get to know you and to bring you to that place where you understand. And we see here that who takes the initiative? It's got to be the Spirit of God. No man can come onto Jesus except what? The Spirit of God draweth him. Who was it that initiated that personal transformation? We know it was the Lord. The Spirit came upon Azariah. And as the Spirit came upon Azariah, he spoke as God told him to speak. And he spoke to Asa, who was the king. And Asa received a message from God through Azariah. And because he received the message, we show in verse number 2, that we see here that the Lord is with you when you are with him If you seek him, he will be found by you. Okay? So we see here, God gives us that input, that God gives us what we need to seek him. It's a desire. It's something that comes our way. And so we see in its message that it's based on three different texts. So, Colleen, I don't know if you're paying attention. So I'm going to put you on the spot, okay? All right, because I'm already down to the texts. So came is that one. Let's go to the next one. Because I know people are looking at me, and they're looking at me like, what's the answer? What's the answer? So, sorry, Colleen, I hate to put you on the spot, okay? You're probably so much into it, you're taking notes, and you're not following what you should be doing, right? And there's nothing wrong with that. But the Lord is with those, and if you seek him, you will be found of him. That's one thing I can say about God. So we see that this is based on three textual experiences in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 29. But if you, from there, you seek the Lord your God, you will find him if you look for him with all your heart and with all your soul. So you got to seek him. The other one is Isaiah 55, verse 6. It says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is what? Near. So you got to seek him when he can be found, and you got to call on him when he is near. All these scripture verses took place during this time of the chronological that was happening in the book of 2 Chronicles. These scripture verses were way known before even revival took place. And these were the contextual scriptures that were used. Jeremiah 29, verse 13, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your what? Heart. You got to seek God with all your heart. You can't seek him lily-dallying around on your laurels. There's a lot more that is going to be required of you. And we see time and time again scripture being used as we go through the book of 2 Chronicles and as we get into Jeremiah, which you are reading now in the book of Jeremiah, and reading about what happened during the captivity period, how God was warning the people to get their lives right, because if not, they were going to go into captivity. But guess what happened? They still went into captivity because they just didn't want to get their lives right. There's a choice that we have to make. There's a free choice that we have to make, our free moral choice. It's a free will. It's up to you to do this. I can't force you to do it. I can't take you by the scruff of your back of your neck and say, hey, you got to do this. I can't do that. I can't. It's not going to work. You got to do it. You got to be willing to do it. You got to be willing to seek God. God gives us his word for a reason. Because he tells us and warns us about it. That's one good thing about the church of today. We have all the warnings of the past that will propel us into the future and what God wants to do in our life. We have all the examples of what people went through and all the punishments and everything that they experienced in life, and through what they went through propels us in the future where God wants to do something greater in our lives, that God wants to do something greater in our communities. If we seek the Lord and we end us there, we are missing out on what God has in store for us. God has given us a means to renew our relationship with him day by day. God has given us Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and they shall not faint. God's given us his word for the reason for us to grow and mature. And if we're willing to do that, what can happen? God can do great and mighty things for us and through us. If we don't trust that our praying works, if we don't trust that our giving works, if we don't trust that going to church works, what do we have? What substance do we have to stand upon? But through all those things, we know something happens. And it tells us in verse number 7 what happens. We have a reminder to keep seeking. And in verse 7 it says, for your work shall be what? Rewarded. You know, church, I know this life of faith is not about works. I know that. Because we can't boast about it. says, for we are saved by grace and not of works of ourselves. It's a gift of God. We know that our works doesn't save us, but we do know this, God rewards our works. God rewards our works. We don't do the work to get rewards, but we do know God does reward our works. I give not because I have to give. God loves the tither and the non-tither. God loves the giver and the non-giver. God just wants you to have a giving heart. That's all God wants. And in that giving heart, something happens in you that can't take place any other way. You start helping people. You start assisting people. You don't mind doing something, giving something. You don't mind helping someone. You go out of your way. You see somebody that needs help loading groceries or getting a box off the top shelf because you're a tall guy and they're struggling to get it, and you just help them. See, there's just something that happens in you as a believer in Christ that probably doesn't happen in the world. And if it does happen in the world, it's because their life was touched by somebody else and they see the benefits of giving. It's more blessed to what? Give than it is to receive. How blessed we are doing that as creatures in Christ, because we are more blessed when we do that. So I want to remind you, for your work shall be rewarded. Don't think you not picking up a piece of paper on the ground that no one may not see it, but God sees it, and God will reward you for that. You may say, well, Pastor, what does that have to do with it? It has a lot to do with it. Because if you ignore the little, how can God give you a lot? If you ignore the little, how can God give you a lot? So I want to challenge you today. Have faith. Know what you're doing. You're doing it to the Lord. And God is the one who's going to reward you in that way. Let me look at the next one if we could. Repentance, to remove every idol. When Asaph heard these words, he took courage. He removed the detestable idols from the whole land, and he repaired the altar of the Lord. What happens when a person genuinely seeks the Lord? I've found this to be true in my life. I've found it to be true in believers' lives. I found it to be true in many other people's lives, that person will remove every questionable idol in their life. When you seek the Lord and you genuinely seek the Lord, that person will remove every questionable idol in their life. They will remove it. I remember there were times when I was a young Christian and someone would say something in a maybe a sarcastic way, and God would convict my heart, and I thought, I can't do that no more. I can't participate that in no more. I can't go there anymore because it's questionable. And it's not the thing that I'm doing that's questionable, but it causes people to question my faith and my life in Christ. Don't you know that you are a walking Bible? You're a better testament than the Bible itself. People read you more than they read that book that may be in your hand right now. People read you more than the book that may be in front of your seat right now. Because that's the way society judges. The character of an individual is not based on what they say. It's based on the integrity of who they are. And integrity means so much today. People are judged on integrity. People are held to high regards on integrity. And we see that all throughout our society today, but we also see that in the Word of God. What did Asa do to cooperate with God? He did three things. Three things. Okay, these are the three positions to us that God can work. Number one, there was courage. You need courage. You need courage. You need courage when you're in a lion's den. You need courage when you got to go through the Nebuchadnezzar's prisons of life. You need courage when you need to walk across a river. You need courage. Asa believed that God rewarded those that seek him. And Asa believed that God would respond to him. So Asa took courage with faith that God will honor true seekers. Honor true seekers. We don't talk too much about fasting and prayer in the church as much as we used to. And maybe that falls on me as a pastor. But I know when there was ever a major decision in my life, a major hurdle, maybe a healing that was needed or an answer to prayer, I would set aside a time and fast and pray and seek God. I would set aside time to fast and pray and seek God. Not to get God's favor, but to show God, I have courage, Lord. You're going to do something in this situation. You're going to undertake. I remember after my son Nathaniel, he died on us twice after he was being born in the hospital. He had two heart attacks. He died on us. And the doctor says, we don't know if we can bring him back if he dies again. And my wife and I, we went into the waiting room and we knelt down on the couch and we said, we're going to fast and pray until God either heals him or God takes him. And as they were transporting him from one hospital to another, we were in the car praying, God, you got to heal him or you got to take him. And 3 hours later, when he got to the hospital where they were going to remove all of his intestines because of the mass infection in his body, the doctor came in and says, we don't know what happened. We know this is the same child. We know it's him. We know he's been under a lot. He's been through a lot. We know it's your son, but there's something miraculous happened. And my wife and I looked at the doctor. We just said, yeah, we know. God healed him. We gave God an opportunity to do whatever he wanted to do. You either heal him or take him. You may say, well, isn't that a selfish prayer? No, that's a courage on our part. Because we knew that child was the Lord's. And if the Lord wanted him, he can take him. And even to this day, he's the Lord's. He's serving the Lord. And he's doing great things for God. God's got him. He didn't take him, but he's got him. You know, there comes time in your life where you got to take courage. It may be hard to take courage. It may be hard to be courageous. It may be hard to stand against those that say, why are you doing that? Why don't you give up? Why don't you just throw in the towel? Why don't you just say it's not worth it anymore? But you know, there's just something when courage just lifts up in your heart, right? I mean, those that have been through it before, Gladys, you've been through it. Emmanuel, you've been through it lately. You know, taking courage, standing up, knowing that God's got a purpose, God's got a plan. Ed, courage, amen. Courage, God's bringing you through, right? He's doing great things in your life. Man, I could just look around the church and I can just sense the courage that just flows through the hearts of those that have been going through some hard times. And I may not know all your hard times. I may not know everything you experiences. But I do know this much. When I look at you and I pray with you and I believe with you, I know God's doing something. I know God's doing something. We need to have courage to know that he's got all things under control. Do you have courage to take God as his word? Do you believe that God will honor you if you will truly seek him? You know, that's what God's asking us, just to seek him with all of our hearts. That's all he's asking us to do, to seek him. Don't seek him for the results. Don't seek him for your answer. Seek him for his results and his answer. Hallelujah. Oh, sweet honey. Let me go on to the next one. There was repentance. Asa took courage, and he did what? He put away the abominable idols out of the land of Judah and Benjamin. He put them away. He got rid of them. Repentance. What is the essence of true spiritual repentance? The essence is change. The essence is change. What is the fruit of a true seeking after someone who is seeking after God? There's repentance. There's change. And what did Asa do? He prepared his heart to be with God, and he prepared his heart to be a home for God. You know, when we say we're sorry and we don't mean it, sometimes people look at us and say, are you really sorry? And we say we're sorry, and then we just go on our merry way without changing. Now, there's something about when you say you're sorry, change comes. There's just a flat-out honesty that removes what needs to be removed. Saying sorry sometimes is just not good enough. because change needs to come. Asa addressed everything that we needed to be addressed. He addressed it a heart that seeks him. He addressed it a desire to get to know God. He addressed it drawn near to God. Asa also did something else that we as a church, we need to do. And that is found in Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Asa did it. The apostle Paul did it. And these are the words. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. I love you as your pastor. If you don't know that by now, I hope you know that. I love you. But I know one thing. I can't save you. I can't help you grow in Christ. I can't bring you closer to God. I can encourage you. I can hopefully be that example, one of integrity and one of honesty, where you can see in my heart a person who does have a heart after God. That you could say that I'm going to follow Christ like Pastor follows Christ, instead of saying I'm going to follow Pastor and leave Christ out. Doesn't work that way, my friends. You have to work out your own salvation. God's already made a way for you to get to him, accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's a given. But what do you have to work out? You got to work out those things in you that are keeping you from God. See, that's where repentance comes in, those things that are keeping you from God. You got to work them out. The word workout is a farmer's term. It means to clear away the ground and remove the rocks so as to produce the best harvest you can get. You know, there was something else I'd done in my garden this year that I haven't done in the past, that I broke up the fallow ground. Some of you are farmers, you know what I'm saying by fallow ground. Fallow ground is not unkept ground. Fallow ground is a hard pan in a garden where the water seeps down. And because it can't seep down anymore, it forms a hard pan. And when water goes into the garden, it can't penetrate through the soil. So what ends up happening, it stays there and it ends up rotting the roots. It gets waterlogged. That's what fallow ground is. Unplowed ground underneath. You may see me outwardly, but you don't see what's going on inside of me. You get what I'm saying? You don't know the deep struggles that I have. You don't know the hard pans in my life. And I realized I had a tractor and I got down there and I broke up the hard pan in the ground. So when the water would start penetrating to the soil, then it could go further than it could go before and it didn't rot the roots. You know, some of us, we're hard pans. You get what I'm saying? We got hard pans in our lives that need to be broken up. I looked that up about the hard pans. The farmers, if you ever see farmers, big farmers have big farms. They have these metal bars that are like 2x8s that are about 10 feet deep. They hook them to their tractor and they sink it in the ground and then they pull that tractor with those bars that are 10 feet or 8 feet in the ground, breaking up the hard pan. Because if they don't do that, water sits on the surface and nothing can grow and everything will rot. It was kind of interesting when we were up by Watertown a couple weeks ago, my wife and I, we saw a lot of fields where the corn was growing, but in the midst of the field, we saw dead areas. And my wife says, I wonder why that's dead in that area. I know why. I said, because there's a hard pan there. And nothing will grow until that fallow ground is broken up. Can I give you a message today? Let God break up your fallow ground. If you're not growing in Christ, if you're not maturing in Christ, maybe you have a hard pan in your life that God wants to break up. He has to break up. You got to be willing to allow him to break it up. There's pain involved. There's no question about it. But let him do in you what needs to be done. Let me leave you with a last one. There was devotion. He had courage, he had repentance, now he has devotion. He says he renewed the altar of the Lord that was before the porch. He renewed the altar that was before the porch. It was a place where sacrifice was done. It was a place where giving took place. It was a place where God was honored with a sacrifice. And God knows the sacrifice that you give, not based upon what you put in the offering or what animal you offer upon the altar. It's done by a willing heart more than anything. After 60 years of service for the nation of Israel, from the time that Solomon built the temple until the day of Uzzah, it has been 60 years. That altar was being used for 60 years. Something that is used for a while, what happens? Things break down. It needs to be repaired. Things that may have been let go or things that have just been, say, oh, that could be put away. That could be taken care of another time. I know two things that destroy a house, a leaky roof and a bad foundation. Two things. You got to take care of those two things. In your life, where are you? What's destroying your life? What's destroying what God wants to do in you? 6 years of service, this altar was being used from Solomon into King Asa. King Asa looked at the altar and he says, it needs repair. It needs physical work. Spiritually, it needs to be reconstructed. Outwardly, it may be working, but inwardly, it's not working. It's not a reflection of a true worship to God, a heartfelt devotion. I'm asking you to look in your heart today. How is your heart? Does it need to be reworked? Is there some spiritual reconstruction that needs to take place? Is there some inner work that needs to take place? Because if it does, allow it to happen. Oh my, let's go on to the next one. Time is slipping. Let's go to the next one, renewal of a personal altar. Personal altar. Asa gathered everyone together. Verse 9, verse 10, they were all gathered at Jerusalem. Verse 11, the people offered their offering. But verse 12 brings it all and knits it all together and ties it all together. It says this, they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord with all of their heart and soul. They entered into a covenant. They entered into a covenant. Church, when we seek God with all of our heart and all of our soul, we enter into a covenant with Him. And if we can bring others with us, our spouse, our children, our friends, our church folks, that's what we're doing. This salvation experience is just not for us, but it's for the world. It's for everyone. You have the answer for salvation today for the rest of this world. You may not know it, you may not see it, but there's just something about renewing someone's heart to Christ, a covenant that has made. Let me go on to the next one. D, reward in receiving from God. There's a reward that is received. All of Judah rejoice at the oath, for they have sworn with their heart and sought after him with their whole desire, and he was found of them, and the Lord gave them rest all around. Do you have rest in your soul today? Do you have rest in your soul? Are you confident? Do you have rest in your soul today? Are you worried about tomorrow and what's going to take place tomorrow? Are you worried about what's going to take place a week from now? Do you have rest in your soul that God's got everything under control? That's that rest. That's the reward of receiving from God. Because they saw him and they looked for him, their heart was right. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 says this. As the Father is perfect, be ye perfect. What does verse 34 say? We know the verse 33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Be perfect as the Father is perfect. And verse 34 says this, take no thought for tomorrow, for tomorrow will take thought and care of itself. You know, God just asks us to seek him. He says, don't worry about tomorrow. I got tomorrow. Worry about seeking me. Get to know me. Draw near to me. How did God honor those who prayed and obeyed? In the scripture verse, it says, there was rejoicing, a reward of clear conscience is the joy of the Lord. There was also a revelation that God revealed himself to those who sought him. If we honor God with our time, God will honor us with his voice. Sometimes we just don't want to spend time before God because we just don't want to hear what God has to say to us. Sometimes we don't go to God because we know what God's going to say to us, right? We're afraid what God's going to say. And then the third one is this. There was rest. The Lord took care of all their worries when the people put the Lord in first place. In my life, there was many trophies that I have won, first place trophies. But the first place trophy I want in my life, I want God to be first in my life. I want him to be first. So I hope you got those last three. How did God honor those who prayed and obeyed? There was rejoicing, there was a revelation, and there was what? Rest. There was rest. See, this is a blueprint that God's given to us. He laid it out. I believe the invitation is there for us today. The invitation is faith in trusting what God has for us. The other point is a removal of everything that is questionable to God. Get rid of those things that are going to cause you to trip and fall and fail and falter. Renew your personal altars. Find a place where you can get before God personally. Find a place where you can get alone personally, a place where you can get where all the distractions of this world are put aside and you can spend time in God's presence. And there's just something that takes place in your life when you know you've been in God's presence. It's rest. You know, the one thing I guess I share with you as Christian comes up, as the worship team comes up, I share with you something that has become a habit in my life, and maybe you may say, well, Pastor, what does that really mean? For me, it works, okay? But Sunday afternoon, I get alone, I find a place where I could just pray. That's what I do. And then as I'm praying, you know what happens normally? I fall asleep. And then when I wake up, I am refreshed. I am ready to go. I'm ready to do something. I don't pray to fall asleep. But sometimes if you can't fall asleep, prayer helps. I will tell you that much. I know sometimes 3 o'clock in the morning when I can't get to sleep, I get up and I pray, and it doesn't take long for me to fall asleep. But there's just something about praying in the presence of God and having rest in your soul and then just trusting it to the Lord. There's just something about that. I just find that out. Maybe because I'm older. I don't know. Maybe that might be a factor. I don't know. But it's just something that just refreshes your soul. We are not restful people, are we? Let's be honest. We are not restful people. We don't rest as much as we probably should. Because we go, 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 and go. You're going to find God in your rest. That's what you're going to find, God in your rest. We're going to sing this song, The Goodness of God. And revival focuses on that, the goodness of God. Because all of my life, it's not that I've been faithful. It's that what? He's been faithful. All of my life, he's been so, so good. Man, I have many blunders. I have many bumbles and fumbles in life. Satan reminds me of all those times I make mistakes, all those times I fail, I don't do the things that I should do. Does that happen to you as it happens to me? Sure. But one thing I know, I have faith to believe that God looks at my shortcomings and say, that's good, because now you depend more and more on me. So So we're going to sing this song, and as we sing it, just enter into God.